quarter's theme, the impact of unsung heroes in the Bible. And the topic of today's sermon is Obadiah, a willing vessel in perilous times. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, church. Are we okay? Thank you for this privilege to share with us again. I think this is eventually becoming my church, so I should be free. Thank God for the mission group that I've just shared with us, the Christian Missionary Foundation, Brother Ezekiel, and then the Navigators from Abuja. Bro, we're in Abuja. We've been seeing at all. Then thank God for Justice and Peace. Thank God for them, and then they go international where I happen to belong. Today, as I sat at the Sunday school, in my class, we were struggling to compare Obadiah and other prophets. And we saw that Obadiah was a hidden prophet. I believe God will help us to understand today who this man of God was. Father, we thank you once again, and we ask that you speak to us and give us a better understanding of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read this scripture again very quickly. You might not turn to it, but you might pay attention now. We have read it. Our brother has read it for us. Listen very carefully. The Bible says, and Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. For so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophet of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave. Now, I wanted to look at very few things there very, very quickly because we don't have time. But we are dealing with a man that lived a very, very righteous life. The Bible said, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. If we are going to discuss about the ministry of Isaiah today, it will take us a whole day. But to squeeze it into these few minutes that we have, we need to be attentive so that God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, Obadiah was a man of great passion, but I want to share one or two things about Obadiah, then we can continue very, very quickly. Obadiah was a prophet who pretended, listen, you see, Jezebel was a woman that everybody feared, including her husband. I hope you know. She twisted everybody and turned everybody's faith, including the faith of the king of Israel. Everybody feared, Jezebel, including Elijah. Elijah prayed to God and said, instead of Jezebel to kill him, he said, God, kill me, I want to die. And he was running to and fro. It was because of the wickedness of Jezebel and Ahab that Elijah ought to run and leave the country. I hope you are aware of the story. That is the person we are dealing with now. But this man that quickly showed up now, that his name is Obadiah, we didn't know where he's coming from. He needs some little investigation this morning. And I think this is what the Sunday school have been dealing with, and we will continue to deal with the life of this man that is called Obadiah. He was a man that was hiding. Listen. He was hiding in the house of the, in the palace. He was a prophet. Are you sure? I hope you're aware that Obadiah was a prophet. Are we together? Can you talk to me? Are you aware that Obadiah was a prophet? Yes. How come about that he's now serving as a steward? Serving as a steward in the palace of the most wicked king of Israel. He was, in mission. There are mission fields we call closed places. Because you can't just show yourself and say you're a missionary. You will not survive the next hour. So you go pretending to be something else. In mission fields, you can't just walk into Iran now and say, I'm a missionary. As soon as you arrive at the airport, it's either you are arrested and executed or you will be exfiltrated immediately. So, but there are open places where we can stand and say, Jesus is Lord, and everybody listening to us. There are places you say that and you die the next day. Now, Obadiah was in a closed palace. He wasn't like a prophet Nathan, who will stand before David and say, thus said the Lord, and still live. This one, if he opened his mouth and said, thus said the Lord, he won't finish the statement before he will be gone. Are we together? So, you can see the dilemma of this guy called Obadiah. So, he needed to hide his status and pretended to be a steward for the purpose of reaching out to the people there. How many of you in your position, will you pretend to be something negligible in order to pronounce or to bring Christ in the community where you belong? Let me tell you this story very quickly. Very true story. I met with this man in Dubai. And he was telling us the testimony of his life. He's a medical doctor. He's a Filipino from Philippines. This guy has been in Saudi Arabia at that time for 15 years. He arrived Saudi Arabia not as a medical doctor, because he wanted to preach the gospel, but he cannot preach the gospel in Saudi Arabia openly. So he came to Saudi Arabia as a servant, steward. And then they recruit all these people like slaves, and they work in their house as houseboys. And this guy gave himself as a houseboy. Meanwhile, in Philippines, he was a consultant in a very great hospital. But he wondered, how do I win soul in Saudi Arabia? So he came as a slave. And then this rich man recruited him and kept him there for 5 years. He never said a word. And this doctor was everything they said. They collected his passport and kept in order for him not to escape. And he was doing everything. He was washing plates, he was cleaning, he was doing everything that is non-medical. And then suddenly the rich man became sick. And he has gone to all the hospitals in Saudi Arabia, but he was not recovering. Each time the sickness was increasing. Now this slave show up and say, sir, I saw that you have struggled. You've gone to several hospitals. I have another option. Will you allow me? But listen, Ahab was not like that one that have another option. So Obadiah needed to be hiding throughout his prophet life. So the man said, the option is God that I serve can heal you. And the man looked up and looked down and said, which God? He said, the God that I serve. He said, is it Allah? He said, no, it's not Allah. But let me pray for you. And my God will heal you. And the man gave in. And this medical doctor laid down and said, God, I did not come to Saudi Arabia with my medical practice. I left it behind. I came here with your name. And I asked that name should speak to me. And he told the man, he said, you are healed. That was how the rich man recovered. That evening he called him, how did you get this power? And the man introduced Jesus to this man. And that man gave his life to Christ. And he became a Christian. That was how Obadiah was. Obadiah was in the life of a very wicked man. But very quickly, I want to share very few things about him so that we will have a better understanding of this man. There are four things I would like to mention about him, about this prophet of God. But before then, we will concentrate on two other things. Because you cannot be this Obadiah if you don't have a life. We are not talking about Obadiah's work alone. Obadiah's work is secondary. What was primary in Obadiah was his life. Am I correct? A man that does not have a life cannot survive in the house of Ahab. Obadiah had a life. And so there are four things I want to quickly depict to us about the life of Obadiah. Then I will say the other two things that we can discuss and then we can close. Number one, a man that has a life, he cannot compromise. How come about that this man stayed in the house of a great king who was so wicked? Let me read this scripture for you and so that you understand. Listen, the Bible said, but there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And he behaved very abnormally in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. No king that ever lived in Israel that was as wicked as Obadiah. As Ahab. And Obadiah was living in the palace of Ahab. How come about that this man, we are dealing with him as a man that served 100 prophets? First of all, he has a life. He couldn't compromise. If you are going to do something that will be meaningful in the sight of the Lord, first and foremost, you must not be a man that compromises. Obadiah couldn't compromise. So many things were happening around. There were all kind of distortion and killing and wickedness and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, he was living in that palace and the Bible said he couldn't compromise. Excuse me. Let me tell you the story of a man that cannot compromise. Number one. One of them I remember is Uriah. Do you remember the story of Uriah? They withdrew the man from the battlefield and brought him before the king. You remember the story? And the king said, go home and eat and drink and enjoy your life, because I brought you for a purpose. And Uriah looked up and looked down and said, no. The commanders of the army of Israel and all the army are standing and are fighting in a battlefield. How dare me? Go into my house and stay and sleep with my wife and eat her food and enjoy my family when the commanders of the God of Israel are in the battlefield. I cannot go anywhere. See, a man that can be like Obadiah must be a man that cannot compromise. Are we together? He must be a man that cannot compromise. Number two, he must not be a man that follow a crowd. Yes? Listen, people love following crowd. You know something happened in Mark chapter 4. After Jesus has ministered to the people, he told their disciples, he said, let's go to the other side. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 4 from verse 35, the Bible says, and the Bible also says, when they left the crowd behind, they went along with Jesus. And as they entered the ship, do you know when you read the scripture, you see that as soon as they were inside the ship, there was a great wind that almost scattered everything. But because they left the crowd and they came with Jesus, a man that is always with the crowd cannot succeed. Are we together? A man that is always with the crowd, he cannot succeed in ministry. He cannot succeed in anything. The other time when I was leaving my work to join Mission Field 41 years ago, they look at me and my young friend, they came and gathered and said, Bro Gabriel, don't be foolish. And it was Mark chapter 4, God said, that is a crowd. Don't go with a crowd. And they say all kind of things. And they said, don't make a mistake. I said, I made the mistake. There's nothing I can do again. Don't go with the crowd. Man. See, Obadiah saw the crowd. Everybody was going with Ahab. Everybody was going with Ahab. And Obadiah alone stood his ground. If you can't stand your ground, you can't do anything. Excuse me. Do you know men that serve the Lord are not men that go with crowds? God doesn't walk with a crowd. God walks with those who walk with him. So we saw there that this man didn't go with a crowd. Then number three of the thing that I saw he did was that he must be a man that cannot give up so easily. Must be a man that cannot give up so easily. How many years? See, even Elijah has run. I hope you know. A man that was so righteous that God took him alive has run. He ran and left the palace. He couldn't have stayed in Israel because he wouldn't survive. They would kill him. But there was a man who couldn't give up. If Obadiah had run with Elijah, excuse me, who would save the 100 prophets? Nobody. They would all kill them. But because he cannot give up, so many people have given up in so many things. You see the testimony that we come and give you as missionaries. Sometimes there are those we went to the mission field together, but when they face some persecution, they easily give up. I've had 1,000 of missionaries that have given up in my presence. And I appeal to them, I say, bro, please, God will intervene. God will intervene. They say, no, it's too late. And they gave up. May you not give up in Jesus' name. Then number four, you must be a man that cannot be intimidated. You may have the fear, but you cannot be intimidated. Obadiah was not a man that can easily be intimidated. He served in the palace where there was every wickedness, but he survived it. He was not intimidated. May you not be intimidated in Jesus' name. Then, let me deal with the two things that I want to deal with it in this scripture. We will discuss two parts of Obadiah, and we have talked about his life. And we have said, first of all, number one, you must have a life. You must have a life. Let me tell you this story. You can't do mission. You can't do God work. You can't be part of what God does without a life. One day, I came from somewhere to this Lagos. I used to fear Lagos the way I fear the devil. I used to fear Lagos. So anytime I arrive Lagos in the night, no, I don't come to Lagos in the night. Even if I'm coming and the night failed me somewhere. The first time I came to Lagos was in 1986. I came for a visa, and then I didn't know Lagos. And I wanted to go and sleep. So I preached in a bus. So when we were dropping, there's something I didn't melt around that the road to. I can't remember the place there. So they arrived there. And then when they were dropping, I didn't know where to go and sleep. But there was a man that responded to my gospel. So I now told him, I said, bro, can I go and sleep in your house? He then looked at me and said, no. You can't sleep. I don't have a place in my house. So he took me to police station. And then he said, I should sleep here. The police said, nobody sleep in that station. So I heard him. I said, bro, look at my ID card. I'm a missionary. Please, I can't do harm to you. He said, no, I don't have a room. So he now took me to a prostitute home. And he said, see, you say you're a Christian, you can arrange with one of these women to leave her room for you so that you can stay there, or you can stay with them just for one night, no problem. And then I said, oh my God, I said, bro, I tell you, I can't do that. Please help me. I can hand over everything, see my passport, I came for visa. I can hand over everything to you. And as soon as I leave, tomorrow you can give me. Then he began to trust me. And then he now took me to his house. This guy had 3 empty bedrooms. Meanwhile, he told me he didn't have a room. So I slept there. That was the first time. But this time around, I fear Lagos. So I came from Canada, and I arrived at the airport around 7 p.m. Then I jumped into a taxi, and they brought me to airport hotel. You know airport hotel in the Kenya? And they said, everything is full. I said, this hotel is very big. Is it full? They said, there is nothing, something is full. So they now said, look at another one across. They took me to the hotel. So as I crossed the, because I was in a hurry to go inside the room. So as the two Jotham stood at the counter, and there were these two girls, and they showed me the cost of the room, and I quickly paid for one. And then is it a porter or whatever their name? He took me to the room that I paid for. And then he opened the room, and he did everything, showed me the toilet, opened the television, and he was about to go out. And he said, are you going to sleep alone? Then I didn't know what he meant. I said, yes, I came alone. I said, I came alone. He said, no, there are beautiful girls outside. He said, they are very beautiful. He said, it's not good for you to sleep alone. So I said, bro, I said, why is your name? He said, my name is Femi. I said, I didn't even talk about the gospel. I said, you are not even afraid of HIV. He said, this one, they don't have HIV. At that point, I was provoked. I said to myself, this guy will lose his job. But in order for me to make sure he loses his job, I cannot just hold him now because he will deny it. So I now say, go and bring the girl. Within 30 minutes, he brought the girl. I had a knock at my door. I said, who is that? He said, I'm the one that you sent to bring the girl. I didn't send him. He sent himself. Then as I opened, I saw him with a truly beautiful girl. And I said, come inside. And then they walk inside. And then there is one chair in my room. I told the girl to sit there on the chair. Then Femi was about to go. I said, no, why are you going out? You brought this beautiful girl and you want to go out so quickly? So wait. So I went and stood at my door. And I said, you are very fine. You are very beautiful. What are you? What is your name? She said, my name is Mary. I said, what do you do? She said, why are you asking so many questions? I said, but you are going to be my girlfriend this night, so why can't I know you? She said, she's a student. Student, we are University of Lagos. I said, University of Lagos is far. This is Ikeja. So, and I said, your name looks like a Christian. You are married. She said, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm even in the choir. Hey! Ha! You are even in the choir. I said, and you want to sleep with a man you don't know? Can you give me the phone number of your pastor? She stood up. She wanted to go. She said, what kind of a man is this that you brought me to him? And then I stood at the door and I locked the door. Thank you for that door that you locked the key and run. And then I now turned to Femi. I said, you are so wicked. I came here very innocent. Very innocent. Now you brought this girl to me. Two of you will sleep in my room. I said, tomorrow I will not leave until your manager dismisses you in my presence. Because the Bible says it is better for a stone to be tied on your neck and thrown away. You can't escape me. How dare you want to make me fall this night? And you, Mary, see how beautiful you are and you are wasting your life. And then the two of them knelt down. I don't know whether they were pretending. They knelt down and they said they want to accept Jesus Christ. I said, to accept Jesus Christ. I said, you want to accept Jesus Christ? Are you sure? Are you sure? I said, Mary, are you sure? She says, I've not seen anything like this. I want to accept Jesus Christ. So I pray for them. I said, well, say after me. And then they said after me. But in my mind, I was wondering, are they sure they want to escape? They want to escape my room. So, they were praying for them. Excuse me, you cannot serve God without a life. Obadiah has the life. So, I pray for them. I said, Father, I mess on them, forgive me. And then I said, you, Femi, this is the last time you ever bring girl to any guest here. Are you hearing me? Dare not do that. So, when I opened the door for them to go, I now put my hand in my pocket and I counted 5,000. And I said, Mary, come. I know this is what is making you to do this. Take this money, but promise me you are going back to your room, to your place. She says, I have not seen anything like this. I want to go back immediately. Listen. Then I gave her the money, and then they went. But then she came back, and then she says, sir, please help me with your phone number, please. I said, why? She said, I've never seen anything like this. You will need to be helping me. So I said, how? She said, because I'm a Christian, but see the way I'm doing these things. So I gave her my number. Every day, this girl will be calling me and asking for prayer. And do you know that I attended a wedding and I preached in a wedding? When she was engaged, she asked me, can I tell my fiancé? I said, no, don't tell him. God has forgiven you sins. The two will scatter the thing again. I said, God has forgiven you, my friend. When you sin, you are not his wife. You are not even his fiancé before. This sin, God has handled it there. Don't even tell him that was why I met you. Tell him that I'm your uncle. And that I'm a Christian. He went and told the guy, he said, I have a house up. I'm not a house up person anyway. But she told him, I have a house up pastor that I want him to come and preach. And the man agreed. And I preached in the wedding. Because Mary completely got converted. And she knew the Lord. You cannot serve God when you are living magu-magu. Do you know what? Look at the man. Excuse me. Can you imagine how many of you can stay with 2-3 beautiful girls for months and survive? How many? How many can stay with beautiful girls and survive? But Obadiah did. He survived the wickedness of Ahab. How many of us that will be posted to where there is money in this political system, where everybody is corrupt? How many of you that are seated, excuse me, listen, that you will be in that position and see money, and that you will live with your hand clean? Obadiah survived it. How many of you will get a position now that you have escorts everywhere you go that are police? Policemen and military protecting you. How many of you that you will ever come to church again? How many of you that you will ever even drop offering in church again? How many of you? Obadiah served the prophets even when he was working with the king. Excuse me. Hey, I don't have time. Because the life of Obadiah is not the life of a 30-minute life. But I don't have it's not a 30-minute life. But I have no choice. I have no choice. It's not a 30-minute life. But let me say this very quickly. Very quickly. The key lesson from Obadiah's life. First, faithfulness in hostile environment. You must be faithful. Even when the condition is not good and is not well, you must be faithful. Number two, risky personal safety for God people. You have to be prepared to risk personal safety. How many of us are ready to risk personal safety? His willingness to protect the prophet at great personal risk is something we need to say today. That if Ahab has got him, he will not survive. Then finally, Obadiah, despite fear, I saw that he was fearful because when he met Ahab, when he met Elijah, and Elijah said, today, I must see Ahab. He was shaking. He said, no, I know you. Because I don't want to go and say something now. And then immediately the Holy Spirit carry you away, and then they will slaughter me like a chicken. No. And then Elijah said, Elijah told him, whether you like it or not, I will see Ahab. Excuse me. Despite fear, this man was ready to do the things of God. Are you here this morning? Can we pray? Are you here this morning? Let's pray. Are you here this morning? First, you need to have a life. You need to have a life. Let's pray. You need to have a life. Brother, you need to have a life. Sister, you need to have a life. Is there anything wrong with you this morning? You can't serve God with that life. First, you need to say, Lord, have mercy upon me. You need to be another Mary who repented genuinely in that hotel. She was completely converted. You need to tell God, whatever that you are doing, you won't be able to serve him. Obadiah served the Lord because he has a life to live. Do you have a life, brother? Sister, is there anything you need to tell God this morning? Lord, I'm sorry. Is there anything you need to say? Father, have mercy on me. God of mercy, have mercy on me. O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. O Lord, your divine favor, locate me. O yes, Son of David, oh, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on your church. Have mercy on your servant. This morning, have mercy on us. Sometimes it is our life that has blocked us from doing the work. Sometimes it is our behavior. We have not opened up to you. But we see, oh God, that Obadiah was a man of perfect submission. In spite of difficulties, in spite of hostilities, in spite of persecution, in spite of every difficult things around him, we saw that he was able to do the work of the master. Father, it's so easy for us in our time, yet it is difficult for us to do your work. It is because our life is not safe. It is because we are not free. Lord, this morning, let your mercy, O God, be upon each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you make us to be like Obadiah. He worked hard in spite of difficulties. Even when there was fear, he overcame fear. Even when there were difficulties, he overcame difficulties. Until Father, he was able to accomplish the purpose of his life. Even though he was a prophet, he hid in the house, in the palace of a king, like a servant, serving everybody in the house, including Ahab's children. But Father, we saw that in his own time, prophets were bold, prophets speak face to face, and they were able to face even their enemies. But because he wanted to reach, oh Father, the palace and bring forth the purpose of his life, we saw that he lived as a servant. Lord, as we do this work, he may demand that we live like servants. He may demand that we bring low ourselves and humble our life, oh God, before you will listen to us. May you do this to us this morning. Thank you, Father, for your servant. Help us, O King of Glory, to be another Obadiah, that we will be able to live for you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Amen. And God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.